is Recharged Radio. Justin Wayne.
There's miles on the phone from where I stand alone back to where you are. And the clouds all around bring the rain coming down.
That is J.P. Corwin there. That is what a fantastic song. It's called Rain. J.P.C.O.R.Y.N. And you can find it on, would have thought, Google. J.P. I should do the work for you, shouldn't I? That's my job. J.P., yeah, myspace.com/J.P.C.O.R.W.Y.N. That's where you find him. He's got a Bandzoogle site as well. So jpcorwin.sitezoogle.com. You can find him as well. And yeah, great stuff. You can just tell that seeing him live would be amazing. And that's what I've heard told down there in Florida. So do give him a look in. Have a download if you want, and all that sort of stuff. It is that time of the hour, that time of the show for one of these.
You're a disgrace. Think you're supporting live music sitting at home alone? The Recharge Radio Gig Guide.
Provided by tourdates.co.uk.
Yes, and that's where I'm at right now. If you want to go and do the same thing, go over to tourdates.co.uk, tourdates.co.uk/gigs, and check that out. I have a couple of specific ones to point out to you. First of all, next weekend up here in Enfield, in Edmonton actually, is the International Women's Day Performances. The 5th of March is going to be fantastic. It's at the Millfield Theater, and it is partially run. It's a big youth thing that we do, and a bunch of women, but then backed by bands and such things, are working with them last night. It's going to be a fantastic show. So do get out there and see that at the Millfield Theater. It's a lot of the youth organizations in Enfield are going to be taking part, so it should be really, really cool. If you're a youth in Enfield and want to check that out, do that, and we'll see you there next Saturday. Also next Saturday is this gig that I've been talking about and interviewing about, and where is it? I had it up a few minutes ago. It's a gig that is oh my goodness. Sorry. It's one of those days, I guess. Where did it go? Right. I'll tell you about that in a minute. That other gig on Saturday. There's a bunch of other stuff. For some reason, Saturday, March 5th is a big gig day. And bless you for picking something, because there's lots and lots to choose from. Looks like Zebedee Rays at the moment are on the prowl. They are tomorrow night. They're in Bristol at the Thekla. Friday they are at the Wharf 10 Bar in Walsall. And let's see, Saturday in Lake Flynn is at the Good Ship in Camden, which is a fabulous, fabulous venue. If you get a chance to check that out, it was really fun. Went down there, and that's when we saw the Little Philistines and the Bordeaux album launch. So, really, really good stuff. And, so good, cool, good stuff there. I've written this down, and I've put it somewhere. And, it's just one happens to be one of those days, I guess. Sorry about that. Here we go. Right. Anyway, okay. So, Curnow in the City, next Saturday, 5th of March. It's the big Cornish thing. It's St. Piran's Day. And next week on the show, we have Lewis on the show. Lewis Elliott of Lewis Elliott and the Embers, formerly of Rialto. He's going to be talking more about that gig. We're going to tell you who's on the list and all that sort of stuff. But if you're interested in it, you want to get tickets, it's ica.org.uk, the list of bands, all Cornish bands. There's Cornish Pasties, Cornish Ale on tap, all sorts of really cool stuff. Doors open at 7:30 at the ICA, which is the international I've just written too many things down. The Institute of Contemporary Arts here in London. It's ica.org.uk. A band called Crowns is playing, Peter Parker's Rock and Roll Club, Minko, Gunning for Tamar, Princes in the Tower and Bells of London City, Rari Joseph, and of course Lewis Elliott and the Embers, who we played earlier. Fantastic stuff. It's going to be amazing. And do get down for that and see that next Saturday as well, if you're not up in Enfield or other places, because there's just so much going on next week. And it's my brother's birthday, so happy birthday to Ryan Kyle next week. We'll give him a big shout out next week on the show. Or we've got to get back into the music and into this interview we've got with Kevin Frank of Silver Sound. We're going to do two tracks right now. Before that, from Yespa, because we're doing that whole organic music thing, and who better to display that than these guys? These guys are fantastic, fantastic. They're called, once again, they're called Yespa. You can find them at J-E-S-P-A music.co.uk or jespamusic.com. Let's hear their old song. The first song I ever saw played live at Recharged Radio of Maple Street Studios. Once again, it's Jespa with Orla on the Justin Wayne Show. It's Recharged Radio.
She shyly smiles to caramel eyes. To my head and to my toes, I don't wanna know if she has to go. If she doesn't, I will follow to the street down below. To the wind and lashing rain, she calls his name, is still the same. But as I turn to go, my love, walking away. Oh, love, oh, love, what can I say? Treading on quicksand, you made your mind to go. How was I to know it wouldn't make you stand? And every word was no to this and no to that. I don't want to live another day like that, and so I tried spelling out goodbye. At least I did in my mind. My love, walking away. Oh la, oh la, what can I say to make you change your mind? We began treading on quicksand. You made your mind to go. How was I to know you wouldn't make a stand? And every word was, my love, walking away. Oh, love, oh, love, what can I say to make you change your mind, your mind? Recharged Radio. I could be a little braver, I could be a king. I could shut myself away and never let you in. I could use a drink or two, I could use some sin. I could be a pioneer, and I could be a saint. I could become anything, but you would stay the same. I could use a drink or two, I could use a change. Much harder when you see it face to face. I could use a drink or two, I could use some faith. Cause I'll never be good enough for you. Soldier, now I'll never be that tough. I will never judge you, but never be enough. I could use a drink or two. I could use some love. But you'll never be. Good enough for me.
You're listening to Recharged Radio.
All right, as promised, after a few weeks of missing each other, I do have Kevin Frank of Silver Sound Productions on the phone. Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, how are you? It's been maybe a month and a half or so. You've been playing phone tag overseas.
It's true. It is. Sometimes it gets very difficult because of the time changes and the just the distance. I think seems like there's an echo.
Yeah, distance and the different schedules and the time change, I think, is a huge part of it.
Sure.
Night and day here, you know, opposite schedules, but it's worked out and it's great. Here we are.
Well, and I can definitely appreciate that you're a busy man, especially how the industry is. It's good to be busy at this point, I would think.
Yeah, I've been very happy to be pretty busy this week. I have 9 songs to mix in 8 days, and I'm pretty excited about that. When I'm not busy, you know, I get in a slump and I have nothing to do for 2 weeks, I enjoy that time, the freedom to do different things, maybe work on my own stuff a little bit, work on different things I would never have the time to do, but at the same time, I like being constantly busy with clients and recording different projects.
Yeah, well, give us a little bit of a, because the reason we got hooked up with you is that Dan found you doing that big Silver Sound contest that you guys did a couple of weeks ago, but sort of give us an idea of where Kevin Frank has come from and how you sort of got into the music industry in the beginning with was it Silver Tide, is that right?
Yeah, it was Silver Tide. And I was and now I'm 26. It's I feel like an old man saying that happened. Silver Tide started when I was 16. Now that life is 10 years later, it seems crazy. It doesn't seem that long ago. But 10 years ago, actually maybe 11, I was 15, we started Silver Tide, a 5-piece band that had the same lineup the entire time while it lasted. And lasted all the way until I was about 21, about 6 years, 15 to 21. The band got signed when I just turned 17. This is back in 2002 now, at this point. And we had a nice long run doing selling about 230 international records with the only album that ever came out. Sold about 120,000 in America, 60,000 in Japan, and the rest otherwise. Never came out in Europe, unfortunately, which we were always really upset about. We had an EP come out there and a vinyl come out there. But the album, at the end of the day, got scrapped last minute. We were getting prepped to come over there for the third or fourth time to work the album, play some big bands, which we still toured there, but the album never came out there for one reason or another. And that's sort of where I came from, in Silver Tide, playing as the drummer in the band for a while. And about when I turned 21, I'm about to be 22, the band sort of had a split up. In a nutshell, I'll just sum it up, that a couple of guys decided to do something different directionally. We'll just say that. Didn't work out. I didn't like it. Clive Davis, the head of our label, who was in charge of us, didn't like it. Didn't work out. Everyone sort of parted ways. And then at 21, I was sort of open to, now what am I going to do? You know, now what am I going to do now? And I really wasn't sure. The obvious answer would be go in our band, be on tour, which I was offered a couple nice gigs, decent pay to go on tour and everything. But at the same time, my first child was born. And I was, you know, really debating, do I really want to be in Japan and miss my entire child's life and have her not know me? And then we had another one. I have a son now, and then we have another one on the way. So I sort of have, in the last 4 years, become a family man. I had to be home-based. So the next question was, what can I do to be home-based? I can't be in a band because a successful band has to tour, obviously.
Right.
And I will be later, but, you know, I tried to do as much as I can here locally. I've been mainly focusing on recording in the studio for a while, and now I'm starting to get more to live recording and video production, things like that. In the era of YouTube and Facebook, I think everyone kind of needs a good video. no one really cares as much about a high quality recording. It's not really as valuable when everything is just two clicks away on your phone anyway. You know, it doesn't really, to me, I don't think it matters nearly as much. So I'm trying to branch off into a lot of live recording, video production, different, you know, booking different shows, putting on different competitions, whatever that may be. I did meet Dan, though, because of he came out to the competition I put on in Philadelphia. It was between 12 bands competed to win a bunch of different things, including recording at my studio, three songs for free through the whole competition. And I met Dan. He was awesome. He actually judged one of the competitions, and he was a really great guy to hang out with. He has a lot of great insight and knowledge beyond mine about music and bands and names of people in bands and all kinds of incredible knowledge. He's just an amazing person to know. I do not know things like that. I've always been around people who know every name of every band member, where I can tell you, you know, exactly what that guitar lick or fill is, not the names of the people who played them. I'm really bad with that stuff.
Sure.
Dan was awesome. He came out and helped out with the competition. And you guys obviously have offered interviews to the winner, the John Salamone band.
Yeah.
And you guys have talked to them, I believe, already.
We will speak to them eventually. We haven't made that connection yet either. So
yeah, it's pretty difficult. I'll make it happen. I just saw those guys over the weekend after a month and a half after the competition went by, after the holidays and things, that I finally had time to book them in my studio, and they were here all weekend on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, cool.
We recorded three tracks that are not mixed or finally edited yet. They're pretty, all the takes and stuff are pretty chosen, all the, you know, best takes and everything like that. We have that pretty much down. I just have to mix it. Like I said, that's three out of the nine songs I have to mix this week, so you should be hearing that within a week or two.
All right. Well, very good. No, we will, and we will appreciate your help nailing those guys down. But they're a fantastic band. Just John's voice is amazing. So,
He does, and I think I really showcased that a lot in these recordings that you're going to hear. I mean, I really made it sound a bit different than it has sounded on previous recordings that they've recorded with friends and the other album they've recorded. I think I really showcased his vocal in a different way and made it sound a little bit different, a little more cleaner, a little bit more present up front, and just make that a little bit more of the spotlight, you know?
Sure. Well, let's hear one of the old tracks. We won't hear one, because obviously they're not done yet. We will. You'll have to send them to us when they're done, or have them send it to us when they're done. But let's hear one of the other songs from the John Salamone Band. Will you tell me the full name of the contest again? Because for some reason I always get this wrong. I've got it written down.
That's
somewhere.
Okay. You know what? It doesn't even matter. There was multiple names at the end of the day. There was one name I called it, but you know, it gets confused. It was kind of like between, there was like four, five venues involved, and there was a separate booking agency who was awesome. They're called the Philly Music Network.
Oh, okay.
They book different shows. They're awesome. They sort of helped book the bands and really helped, you know, promote it and get people out to the shows. And they were, you know, equally involved with me in putting the whole thing together.
Cool.
The guys' names are Joe and Aaron. They're amazing from that company, and it was the three of us that put the whole thing on. So at the end of the day, it had a ridiculously long title, but it was ended up being called the Philly Music Network Silver Sound Showcase Series. Excuse me, I can't speak. I can't even say the title. It's so long.
The Philly Music Network Silver Sound Series. I got it.
Yeah. I just started calling it the Silver Sound Showcase Series, but then that sounded selfish because I cut someone else's name out. But
right. No,
realistically, it was, you know, they booked the shows at Philly Music Network, so it was Philly Music Network's Silver Sound Showcase Series.
Yeah.
That was it.
There you go.
It was a showcase series to showcase Philly's, you know, some of the best bands and compete to win good prizes. And at the end of the day, the name doesn't matter. I just started calling it the competition.
That's right.
A competition that I put on.
There you go. Well, let's hear Wrong versus Right from the John Salamone Band, winners of the Philly Music Network's Silver Sound Series. We'll be right back. More with Kevin Frank in a minute. right. Once again, that's Wrong Versus Right. That's the John Solomon band. It's spelled Solomon. I think it's said Solomon. Is that? I don't know. Maybe I'm.
No, it's radio DJs. John Solomon.
Okay.
John Solomon.
All right. That, so it is. It is said just like it's spelled, as it should be. So you're in Philadelphia, and obviously has a thriving independent music scene, which is. To be perfectly honest with you, and not to say us Minneapolis people are music snobs by any means, but I wouldn't have thought of Philly as a you know heart of independent music. How did you sort of end up there, and what is the music scene like there, Kevin?
Well, to try to answer this question, the three parts you asked there, not
that is three questions in one, isn't it?
I ended up here because I was born in Philadelphia. I live actually in a suburb about 45 minutes outside of Annale to raise my family in sort of a suburb area. At this point, that's quieter. I can have a studio, it's a bigger house, things like that. I can have it spread out, make noise, and no one cares. As opposed to the city right now, I live right outside of it, but I was born right in the city itself, and we have moved here right between my wife's family and mine, and it's a nice little town called Hatfield. We live out here, it's great, but that's sort of why I'm here, to stay close to our families, sort of like most people in the world, I would imagine. If we didn't have children and family, I think my wife and I would be pretty adventurous and live all over the place, maybe London right now, maybe Japan, who even knows. But at this point in life, it's important for us to be home and near their family and their cousins and friends and the whole nine yards. But the music scene itself, I'm definitely attracted to because I was sort of born and raised here with the scene as well, like 15, getting into it, and all the different clubs we played are still around, and different people I've met, a lot of venue owners and promoters are still around. It's good to sort of get back out there and see people again, and that's sort of, I'm just familiar with it, and I really enjoy going out there. As for the music scene itself, the actual bands playing and all, I'm just getting a bit reacquainted in the last 6 months to a year myself. I've been a little bit out of the local live scene in terms of really knowing, you know, besides the top 10, 15 bands that are out there, really knowing, you know, 100, 200 bands that are playing and up and coming. I'm sort of just getting familiar with that myself now. So there seems to be a lot of different things going on that I'm really interested in the last year or so compared to the last five, what I heard. Seems like people these days are really adapting a little bit to the world of technology and YouTube and Facebook, and I think people are getting a little bit tired of, like, you know, overly computerized perfect recordings, things like that, perfect sounds. I think it's getting a little bit too much with the way things are working, and things are so easily accessible, like I said, with YouTube and Facebook and iPhones and everything. It's everything's so accessible that, you know, things have been a little bit too perfect for a while that, you know, people are a little bit bored by that, how fast you can get information, how fast you can get a song, how fast you can find out what this is. I don't think that really matters anymore. It's just about something that is inexplainable about music that captures somebody with, like, a lot of raw, organic, you know, emotion or sounds that feel real to people. I think Philadelphia is really showcasing a lot of that. You know, it might not be the greatest hit songs, most perfect, you know, Nickelback-esque tones and things like that that are overproduced and whatever people are used to hearing for so many years, but I think a lot of it is really sort of like cities like New York and Philadelphia, you know, come from sort of an underground kind of the raw, organic, even the people themselves. No one's perfect in any city, but people here tend to have a bit more attitude, I would say. And I don't really love that in general, but in terms of the music, sometimes that comes across a little bit better, a little more real, and like raw emotion if a song is supposed to be sad or melodramatic or even angry. I think that comes across a little bit better by people in the city and bands in the city. It just feels a little more real. People aren't really trying to mess around to fake something. A lot of the bands I'm seeing that with, I work with, you know, they're not looking to do something that's fake. They just, at the end of the day, want it to sound and feel pretty organic, if that makes any sense.
Sure, yeah. Are those sort of the types of people that you saw when you did the Silver Sound series competition?
Yeah, definitely. When I did the showcase, I mean, that's definitely something I discovered. Like I said, I'm just getting back out on the live scene a little bit more, and that showcase was the main reason I wanted to do that, besides to help out bands, and that was the main reason. But the other reason is to get myself back out there and see what's going on, and it's the one thing that really sticks out to me, besides different styles of music that I saw, things like that. Overall, it seems like it's a pretty, you know, Philadelphia is a pretty soulful kind of town that comes from, you know, the people are, like I said, are pretty down to earth and pretty real. Sometimes that results in a little bit of attitude and negativity, but I think the music definitely sticks out that way. You know, that all the bands, sort of, no one there really has like a fake little image they're wearing. You know what I mean? Everyone seems just pretty real, and it's about the music. It's not about trying to be something that they're not. And I really like that, because where I come from and the band I was in, Silvertide, the only reason the band had success was not because we had hit songs or because we were on pop radio. It was only because we had a real organic band vibe and people liked us because we were a band that just liked to play music and they liked to come out and see the shows, and that was really organic, and that's why people enjoyed it. So that's where I come from, so that's what I enjoy, and that's what I'm definitely still seeing in Philadelphia. It's pretty common that all the bands, no matter what style of music, from hip-hop to R&B to rock, it still feels pretty organic. It's important for them, for the lyrics and the music to sound pretty real and not just for the sake of writing a quote-unquote hit song.
Well, we can all hope that will infect the rest of the nation as well, because I think that certainly pop music in general could use a little reality, realness. Maybe not reality, because that's like reality TV, but not like that at all. But certainly some organicness.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm a fan of pop music. I listen to pop music to stay in the industry to see what's happening, and I'm not anti-pop music whatsoever. I might be mostly a rock producer, but I do all kinds of music, and I'm a fan of all kinds of music, and I heavily listen to pop just to see what's out there, and because a lot of times things are called pop because they're good songs.
That's true, yeah.
You know, you can relate to them, and the lyrics and the melodies are catchy, and that's good. That's a good thing. I'm definitely not one of these people who is anti, you know, pop because you're selling out or whatever people might fear. That's not really true. You know, if it feels good and it's real, I like it, regardless of what style it is. And, you know, definitely some of the bands were considered pop rock, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't fake. There wasn't any, like, imagery. It wasn't about, you know, the bandana and the chain the guy wore to try to look good, but the song sucked. You know, it wasn't like that at all. You know, it's just about the music was good, the band still had vibe, and the bands are still, you know, they're not really boring looking or anything like that, but people are just pretty down to earth here, and it's about making the songs good, and I think that's a good focus that everyone should have, and people are starting to come back around to that in a little bit.
And like you say, I just want to echo what you said before about the fact that people can get whatever they want whenever they want it. So I think that the sort of songwriting and you know, real stuff and unique things are definitely going to come to the forefront. I think that's a really good point you've made.
Yeah, I say thank you. I think about 95% of the world who listens to music are not musicians or musically inclined people like us. I think, you know, they can't really explain why they might like a song musically, and that's important for every musician to realize that, you know, it's not really about the musicianship and the technical skill, which is important to have, obviously, to provide for good songs and a good musicianship to make a good song. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you like that guitar tone and that lick and that drum fill, if all at all, most of the world can't relate to it. You know, it is important to have, like I said, we were talking about how accessible things are. You hear a song on the radio or just anywhere on internet radio or anywhere, you just hear a song in the band, and either you like it or you don't. There's not really reasons you can explain musically why you like it or you don't. I think the common thing that all people, whether you're musicians or not, feel is just the raw emotion and the meaning of the song. And if it came across by the players in the band, if it came across as real and the whatever dynamics the band was playing really showcased the vocal and the lyric at the time, I think people can tell those things without being able to explain it. They really feel them. They like, you know, you like a song for some reason because the verse is kind of quiet and really, you know, I really understood those vocals. They meant something to me. And then the chorus got really big and strong. It made me feel something there, whatever it may be. Just, you know, I think that's, you know, besides any musical knowledge or anything like that, people feel that more than just, oh, that's a catchy melody. Do I like that? I don't know. You know, I think for a while, people's brains were trained to be like, that's catchy, it's in my head, I like it. But now it's so overpopulated with, like, the same kind of stuff.
that people, regardless of style of music, are feeling the real stuff.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Very good stuff. Take that on board, you indie artists who are listening. Let's talk before we go. I want to talk a little bit about what you're doing with Silver Sound Productions, and that, because you started doing, obviously, the website now is silversoundaudio.com, but you're moving sort of in different directions, I would imagine, because the live scene is getting so much more important, and like you said, YouTube is more important as well. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now with Silver Sound.
Well, that definitely came from about 3 months ago. I had about six bands booked in over 2 months, and five out of six canceled at the last minute, like 2 days before. And it wasn't because they didn't want to work with me. It's because no one had, it was a financial budget thing, and no, you know, bands don't have money. No one has money these days. It's hard. The hard world, it's like, you know, it became pretty obvious to me, although I'm getting, you know, a little bit more known and more clientele and things like that, that, you know, studio recording is not really as valuable as it was because of the instant access to whatever you want. And that's not why people like songs anymore. I mean, all in all, it's usually pretty, unfortunately, you know, squashed through an iPhone or whatever. No one cares about the actual audio quality or production quality nearly as much as just the song itself and how it feels, like we're talking about before. And that also became more apparent to me that, you know, video is much more important, I think, than even audio these days. And, you know, a reason why you might like a band or solo artist, something like extreme pop, like Lady Gaga or something like that, a huge part of that is the visual. And people like these things because you can go online or anytime on YouTube and see what that's like. You know, I like this band or this artist because the overall package is interesting to me, not just the recording, or, you know, I don't think that's really as important. And it became pretty obvious to me that I should get into the live scene and providing video and audio. And I've had a couple connections that I've been in contact with, and a couple video guys that I've been using that are awesome. And I'm really just trying to make that actually my main gig, because I really feel that having a live video for the entire set, shot with three cameras, fully edited, you know, color corrected, looking totally pro, and all the audio, each instrument's individually recorded and mixed afterwards, post-production in the studio, like full DVD for the same price of one or two studio tracks,
yeah,
seems to be way more valuable these days. And it's actually way more fun to do, because you can see the band, you can see what they're about. It's just the illusion that is usually made in the studio, you know, you do that, take again, punch this part there, perfect this, make this a little better, copy and paste that, you know, it's just, that's just the way it is. After 15 years of being like that, and people, you know, kind of knowing that's how it is, anything could sound like gold in the studio, but when you see a band live in a live video, it is what it is.
Well, I suppose people do sort of hold that reservation, like, I've heard this on the record, it sounds pretty good, but I want to see them live to make sure that they are good, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. And people are sort of even skipping that. They still think that, almost subconsciously, except they just go right to the first step. You know, I might hear 2 seconds of something on the radio and go right to YouTube and see what the band looks like, whether it's a professionally done video to the studio track or a live video. You know, you can't really beat that. It's easier, you know, it's definitely more than it used to be with MTV and videos and seeing a band every once in a while. Now you can just go see it immediately wherever you want to see it. And that's, people generally do that a lot more, I think, than going to try to find, you know, CDs and stuff on iTunes and go to find the record. And I don't think that's really nearly as important. I know it's not as important to people, not even me. That's not how I research music anymore. If I hear a band that I like, you know, if I'm driving in the car, I will be guilty as everyone else with technology and instantly Shazam it on my iPhone and see who's this band, and then click the view on YouTube button or whatever it is, and I say, oh, that's what they look like. Okay, they have this whole vibe. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like that. Do I like that? Do I not? And that's how you choose. So that's the direction I'm trying to go and provide, you know, live videos and live recordings for people, and also give feedback if they want, you know, for whatever the band's vibe is and what I thought of the show and everyone who views it thinks of the show. People can post what they think of it.
Well, I suppose you can make that, those sort of like producer sort of comments to them, saying like, you should probably cut the, you know, if you're going to record this, get rid of the first four, or, you know, cut this part in half, or put the chorus here, and I suppose you can give them those sort of production comments after the show as well, can't you, with the recording
yeah,
of it and
exactly.
say, this is what you look like, maybe you shouldn't do that or something, or maybe this was really good, this is fantastic.
Yeah, definitely, and like, yeah, I'm not one to think image is overly important, but obviously at the end of the day, you know, we're all guilty of liking a band or not, because one way or another, it's going to look punk rock, or it's going to look goth, or it's going to look whatever the hell it is at the end of the day.
Well, it's a performance art, isn't it?
It's more, yeah, it's more like, does it have a real vibe, or does it look like people trying to do something?
Yeah.
You know, as long as they people look real to me, and they just look like real people, whether they are all dressed up and fancy or not, it doesn't matter to me, as long as it feels organic, and that's what they want to do, and it matches the music, and it's cool. You know, as a producer, I do in the studio. That's all a huge part of my job. I don't just hit the red button and record and set up mics and engineer. I like to be pretty involved with trying this, trying that, maybe take out two bars there, maybe only have bass and drums at this section and make it real dynamic and have an effect on the vocal, and then bring it in with four guitars there instead of one. You know, like whatever it might be, it's a huge, I'm a big, pretty production involved person, I guess. That's yeah. something live I can do too. You know, just watching the show back and as a whole show is 12 songs, whatever it might be, you know, it's good to have someone outside of the band give you feedback, whether it's me or anybody else in the world who sees the show. You know, that song was a little bit weird there. Maybe that was like 5 minutes too long of a jam you did there for no reason. You know, like, and that's that. And like, I always appreciated constructive criticism as a drummer and a bandmate. I mean, it really was valuable, because you don't really think, you're just playing and having fun, but at the end of the day, it's a business, and you're trying to get fans, you're trying to please people and make them happy, and like, everyone's opinion is valuable no matter what it is.
It's true.
You know, for one reason or another, you made that person feel that way when you played music, whether it was really happy or I hated that band. For one reason or another, whatever it is, it's valuable to hear anyone's opinion, I think, just to have an idea of what anyone knew hearing you might think.
Well, this is really valuable stuff, Kevin. I want to thank you for joining us, and you've already promised me that you're gonna come back in a couple weeks, and you're gonna bring one of these John Solomon tracks to us that you've just done, and when it's all mixed and mastered and all that sort of stuff, we'll play it on. You can talk about what you've done, and maybe at that time we can speak to John as well and talk about the process.
Yeah, sounds cool. Maybe we could both be on the same phone or something like that. Maybe I'll have him in the studio with me.
Oh, yeah, that'd
maybe
be cool.
Maybe we'll try to Skype or something like that, see if it works, and that would be real cool. Maybe me with the band, we'll talk about the tracks.
Cool, yeah. Well, Kevin, thanks very much for joining us, and I think that everything you've said, I mean, we have a lot of musicians that listen to the show, or independent musicians that listen to the show, and if they didn't benefit from what you said, they're not listening. So, really great stuff.
Well, I appreciate your time and all the help you've been offering. You know, it's really, I really do appreciate it.
Yeah,
and anyone who's a musician to the world is trying to make music, whether I'm playing in the band or not, you know, trying to help make music better, and just no matter what I want to do, I'm always going to do music because I don't have a choice. I think that's how all the musicians in the world are, regardless.
It's true.
We're just going to do it because we have to, or we'll go crazy.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm just like everyone else, just trying to make as much new music as possible.
Yeah. Well, tell us where musicians can find you if they're in and around Philadelphia, or if they're touring through there. I want to set up a time to record a live show with video. Where can we find you at?
I mean, right now the website is silversoundaudio.com. That will always work, although it's going to be changed to silversoundproduction.com next week. But
yeah.
Silversound Audio will always work. But since I'm getting more into video and all kinds of different bookings and stuff, I just have a production company, period, like we talked about. So, you know, either one, silversoundaudio.com, and then there's contact information there. Or, you know, you can find me online anywhere, any of the social networking sites. Just call me on my cell phone. It's listed publicly everywhere, so it doesn't matter. It's all over the site, and you can just call me there anytime, text me, and I'm available to come out the night of, usually for audio. If I'm not recording a session already, tomorrow night. Someone just emailed me this morning that they want me to record at one of the same venues I recorded did the showcases in, the Grape Room. So I'm just going to pack my gear up tonight and show up tomorrow and record. That'll be that.
Awesome. Well, brilliant. Well, take it easy, Kevin. We'll talk to you soon. Let's hear once again from the John Solomon Band. We'll hear the other track that I have. This one's called Forever There.
That, once again, the John Solomon Band. You can find them at John Solomon Band. John Solomon Band. Just type John Solomon Band into Google, because I've got it scribbled down somewhere. And as you heard before, my notes are in a mess. It's because of the cat. It's true. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Randy. Rodrigo. Thank you, Anonymous Coward 417, for listening, for loving Auditorium. I will sort that out. We will hear the entire Auditorium album on this show. If you want to hear it before then, that'll probably happen in 2 or 3 weeks' time, but if you want to hear it before then, go to auditoriummusic.com, because I said it wrong earlier, auditoriummusic.com, and get the album. Be brave for yourself. You can buy it online. He'll send it to you. He'll probably even like wrap it in tinfoil or something for you to protect it from aliens. Anyway, that's it for me. Rodrigo de Sá is next, the Island Music Show. It's another fantastic week at Recharge Radio, so do join us every evening, 7 p.m., right here, rechargeradio.com. And if you want to check out more about the Justin Wayne Show, that's the justinwayneshow.com. Last track of the night for me. Oh, I must say thank you to Kevin Frank as well. Next week, we're going to be having Lewis Elliott on the show, so we're going to be thanking him next week for being on the show. And so, yes, join us back here again next week, 8 p.m., or if you want to get 6:30, that's the time of the month is, it starts at 6:30. That's when Wednesday's programming starts, with 6:30 GMT, right here, rechargeradio.com. Love you guys. This one is from one of my favorite bands and has been with the show for a very, very long time. They're called Via Dove. ViaDove.com is where you can find them. They have a new album out, but this is from their old album. This is a fantastically fantastic track, and I know you'll agree with me. It's called Spinning Out. Right, it's Justin Wayne Show, Recharge Radio. Giddy up.
The edge of a high rise, watching the cars drive by on the streets below. Life took her from him, where it drove her, he don't know.
It's the Justin Wayne Show.
Get in touch. studio@rechargedradio.com. The best new independent music.